The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
Oh, good afternoon.
And my producer, the infamous Jack Inslee.
Hello.
Today's show is Are You Smarter Than a Thief? We have a very special guest today, Harry Houck. Say hi, Harry.
How are you?
Okay. First, we'll take care of a little bit more business. We broadcast every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. And if you can't listen to us while we're live, you can always download a free podcast, or all the episodes are archived on our website. So tune in anytime it's convenient for you. We'd love to hear from you while we're streaming live. You can call us at 718-497-2128, 497-2128, or you can email, and Jack will take your questions or your comments right offline while we're on the show. You can email info@heritageradionetwork.com. Today, we're so excited to have a specialist, identity theft specialist, among other things. This is what he's famous for. This is Harry Houck. He is a client of mine in my practice, but his expertise is he's retired New York Police Department detective first class.
Well, why don't you let him explain?
Well, I'm going to tell a little bit about him.
First grade, not first class.
So first grade detective is pretty prestigious, right? That's like the highest place you can go, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. So, and then he also worked for many years at Citibank in the identity theft department, and now he's out touting and his own business. He's got a report called the Houck Report, which talks about terrorism and identity theft, and he's just an expert at everything. So, welcome, Harry, today. And
thanks for having me.
Oh, we're happy to have you here. So, Harry, I am very impressed by what you've done over the past, I guess, 20 or 30 years, right?
Yeah, about 30 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And give us a little background how you became an expert, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it probably started, you know, when I was working in the detective squad in the Lower East Side in the Village, the 9th Precinct. Just doing all the regular crimes out there, you know, murder, robbery. And I was approached by my squad commander to take a look at financial crimes. So I thought to myself, this might be something I want to get involved in once I retire.
What's financial crimes?
Financial crimes, credit card fraud, check fraud, those type of things. And I got involved in it, and I really started liking it a lot. And, you know, a lot of detectives don't like to do financial crimes because there's so much involved in it.
Isn't a lot of paperwork?
A lot of paperwork.
And a lot of guys don't really like that kind of work.
You know, you're going through a lot of records. You have to be sitting down, going through records, going through numbers. A lot of people don't like that stuff.
Details.
Right, it's nothing but details. But, you know, all the information is there. If somebody's been a victim of identity theft, can a case be solved? Yeah. You know, do you have the amount of time that's required to be able to solve that case? That's a different story.
Yeah. Now, the New York Police Department, do they do that kind of work regularly, or it's kind of, it's not really the, it doesn't seem to be their line of work to me.
Well, of course it is, except that the, you know, a lot of people don't know what the real scope is out there of identity theft. I would say probably not even, I'd say about 30% of the identity theft out there today is probably reported.
30%.
Yeah, there's probably 70% of it out there that's not reported. Based on what I've seen, I've never taken any real polls out there.
Okay, right.
But I know that a lot of people all over the country, if they are a victim of credit card fraud, check fraud, they try to make a police report. They can't.
Why can't they?
All right. Well, sometimes the police departments make them go back to the bank to get paperwork.
Right.
Right? So, you know, to actually prove that you were a victim of identity theft.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just, you know, let it go after that. They don't want to come back.
They're not into paperwork.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're a victim of fraud in the bank, Basically, all you really have to do is call them and tell them, and the bank will make you whole again.
Right, if it's a small amount.
Well, no, no matter how much it is.
A big amount.
Right. If you're a true victim of fraud, like what we're going to talk about today, skimming.
Skimming.
Uh-huh. All right. Mm-hmm. If you're a true victim of fraud, true victim of fraud, you know, the bank must pay you back in 10 days. A lot of people don't know that.
What happens, you know, I know that bank accounts are insured up to $100,000. So what happens if you get ripped off of $500,000? Do they just have to, now they up the $100,000 to $250,000. So do they have to reimburse you above that?
Right. That's got nothing to do with
fraud.
Oh,
that's different. That's FDIC insurance.
FDIC insurance. Yeah. In the case the bank goes
belly up
right. Like back in the 30s.
So they'll pay you full amount if you're identity fraud.
I've had claims where I paid $500,000.
Really? Where at Citibank?
Right.
Not in the NYPD?
No.
Okay.
I don't pay. I just...
Yeah, in the NYPD, you don't get to that level, right?
You just...
Right. I just find the bad guy, lock him up.
And it's a criminal
they don't
matter.
Go to jail anyway, so it's...
No, white-collar crime. Well, now they do a little bit more.
But
now, you know, it's unfortunate,
much.
But a lot of the white-collar crime is being started or being taking place around the world, not necessarily in the U.S., so you have very limited access to putting these guys behind bars, right?
Well, you're going to have cases where... let's say people's credit card information was phished on the internet.
Yes.
Basically, what you do is you get an email, a phishing email. We call them a phishing email saying from your bank, you're a victim of fraud.
Right.
Okay, we need your credit card number to keep your account open. A lot of people get nervous. All right, they'll fill out information, send it back so their account's reopened.
Yeah.
And then that information goes back to overseas.
Yeah.
We actually had a case where they were doing it out of the Ukraine.
Right. That's very common. Russia, Eastern Europe, Africa.
Exactly.
And
so
parts of Europe.
And there's really nothing you can do about it. It's just
so the NYPD and the U.S. The police departments have limited ability to get these crooks.
Well, when it comes overseas, because remember, the NYPD does do a great job of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, but the amount of identity theft cases out there are astronomical.
Right.
I mean, I probably investigated at least, 50, 60 a week.
I bet you all of us know somebody personally that have been victim of identity theft.
Definitely.
Everybody.
Like, the credit card is easier. Like, I've, people replicating checks and banks, bank accounts and stuff like that. It's like, how do you think you're going to get away with that? I understand with the credit cards, like, you go online, you replicate a credit card number, you can do a lot of things there that, you can't do. But, like, going to a bank and cashing a check, like, there is a lot of, like...
Security.
There's a lot of evidence at that point. Like, there are cameras everywhere.
Sure.
You have a signature on the check, you have...
But they still
wherever
do
you got
it.
I had two different clients myself that it happened to.
Right.
One person
got
like $60,000.
But, they don't need to do that anymore.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I've noticed that.
We had a bank which was around the corner from our precinct, which we gave our cell phone numbers to. Asked them, listen, you got anybody in here trying to pass a bad check?
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a call. So we got a call, walked in. There was a guy at the teller trying to... cash a bad check, turned around, looked at me, saw me, came over and says, okay, you got me.
Really?
Just put his hands right in front of me.
Really?
Exactly.
Wow.
But they don't have to take those chances
anymore. Bank robberies aren't even popular anymore. Now they could do it through the internet.
They happen.
Computers, yeah.
You know, the bank robberies do happen because it's, cash right now.
It's cash,
money.
Yeah.
But not as much. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, bank robberies were a big crime. Now it's much, much less.
Well, no banks have cash anymore.
It's not what it used to be.
No,
banks aren't carrying cash. Everyone uses a credit card. What are you
going to
get, $3,000 from an ATM?
Exactly.
You're going to do like 30 years for that, whereas like this internet fraud, it's not nearly anything like that.
Millions.
And you've got barricades in the banks now, so pretty much with the barricades, stop the guys from jumping over. And like on television, you see these large bank robberies.
Mm-hmm.
But they still happen in California because a lot of banks in California don't put up the barriers.
Really?
Yeah, so there's still a lot of bank robberies out there.
Okay, so now you left the NYPD and you worked at Citibank, and what kind of work did you do there to lend to your expertise?
Well, I started actually a brand new unit for the bank.
What's
it was
that?
Called the Major Incident Unit, and what we did is we investigated client-based fraud.
What does that mean?
Basically, it's somebody who actually opens an account for the explicit purpose to steal money from the bank.
Oh.
And there was a lot of that going on out there in all the banks. And
how do they do that? What's the procedure on that?
Well, I don't know. Should I tell people how to commit fraud? I don't think that's probably
I think
a good idea.
Part of my thrust here is to teach people how to outsmart the bandits. So if you told us...
But this is how to outsmart the bank.
This is how to outsmart the bank. Now,
okay.
Right, exactly. Right. I could tell you probably the best, the biggest problem out there today, all right, as far as, you know, getting money stolen out of your account is what they call skimming.
Skimming.
Right. Basically, what skimming is, you know, every time you go to a store, you go to a bank, and you use your credit card, ATM card, debit card, you've got to stick your card into a skimmer.
Right.
Okay. And it slides it through. You've got that black piece of tape on the back of your credit card with all the information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll read about every once in a while that, you know, some of these companies had 5 million cards that were compromised.
Yes.
And, you know, you see this on the TV every once in a while. All right. These are companies that store this information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when they store this information, somehow that information gets hacked.
How?
All right.
Somehow is how.
Right. They somehow. I there's probably a million different ways to do it. And I'm not a forensic expert on hacking.
Oh.
All right. I'm the kind of guy is like, you know, I'll investigate the case, but if I want to know exactly how they did it,
you get somebody else to analyze that.
I bring in a CSI guy.
Mm-hmm. CSI,
you know,
okay.
A special CSI guy who can actually read code, mm-hmm. track the information.
The computer guys.
And the computer information. Right.
Got it. So yeah. Somehow or another, we put our ATM cards in these slots, and somehow or another, the crooks are able to get our data from those slots.
I heard it was sometimes put on the device itself, like they put it like a separate scanner in between the one.
Who's they?
Well,
the
crooks.
Get them into the bank ATMs?
Exactly.
That's amazing.
This is exactly how it's done. What they'll probably do is they'll wait till like Friday afternoon to do it when the banks close. They'll go into an ATM machine. Now, this can also happen on ATM machines in your bodega, in your supermarket.
Yeah.
This
well,
can
those
happen
to me
anywhere,
seem appear you know? To be less secure.
Right.
You would think the bank would have a security thing.
But what they do is they tend to go to places where there's just ATM machines. You see, there's a lot of major banks out here in New York. It's not actually a branch. It's just an ATM location.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So they'll tend to target those locations.
Right.
All right. And what they'll do is the part where you dip your card in, all right, they'll put a device over it, which we call a ghost device.
Well,
now, that ghost device, what it does is they'll have them made exactly like the skimmer in the bank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In most cases. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just put something crazy on there, and you look at it, and you're looking at the other ATM machines, at your ATM machine and the other ATM machines, and they don't look the same, and people will still use them.
Right.
You know, so what you have to do is you have to make sure that, you know, when you're using your ATM machine, all the ATM machines look exactly the same.
Right. It looks credible, yeah.
Right. So what they do is that, you know, they'll dip the information in there, okay? And at the same time, when you enter your PIN number, all right, there might be a little pinpoint camera where they capture your PIN number.
Right.
Or if you press your PIN number in, they can put a sheet of plastic
over the keypad,
all right, and be able to know exactly where, you know,
you touched
and you got your PIN number. And it's electronic.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, so they'll be able to get that information.
Do they still do this? I mean, I've heard of that in the past. They still do that?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Sure, it's done all the time.
Wow.
A lot of times, the other ATM machines, you know, a lot of the ATM machines that are outside banks are the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, because there's no regulation.
Yeah.
You know, you've got ATM video.
That's right, the security cameras in there.
Security camera in the bank. But when we've looked at that, all we do is we see the guys we actually see him putting the devices on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I got a face, but there's 7 million people in New York, you know, who's the guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, and they're not going to put this on America's Most Wanted every week.
Right.
You know, trying to identify who these guys are. So it's really hard to, you know, to identify these guys.
How many people get ripped off doing just ordinary banking business? Thousands, millions.
I tell you.
Is that how most of us get our identity theft? When people say, my identity was robbed.
Well, you know, hacked. Let me tell you something. Identity theft was something totally different 15 years ago.
Yes.
Identity theft was somebody actually took over
your social security number.
They took over your social security number.
Right.
They got credit cards. All
passports.
Right. They bought homes.
Right.
They bought cars.
Right.
You know, that's what identity theft is. So now everybody lumped it in. Like, if you lose your credit card and somebody uses it, they're considering that identity theft.
Right.
It's really not. It's grand larceny.
Yeah, that's all it is.
But we really want to focus in on how you can safeguard your money. And We're going to, so skimming is one way, and we have all, there's other things. You'll tell us more about skimming, or, well, you know, we'll see what the, more details about that. But are there other ways for people to lose their money in those financial scams?
Well, there's tons of different ways. One of the things is the internet. The internet is really big now.
Well, let's, you know what? The internet, of course, we know that. You're going to hold that thought. We're going to take a break for a minute, and we'll be back to talk about all the other ways you can lose your money.
Because I'm tired of maturity, airport insecurity, running from the thought police, fighting with the go-betweens. Hold up, let me steal a breath, because we're dealing with identity theft.
You need an education.
I don't see why I got
you. You need a good degree.
As to a ceiling, so little time, so much to be bored by. If no one taught along Harvard long, no one make a nuclear bomb. They don't teach you how to care, empathize, and if you dare, euthanize your sense of fair play. Better to obey, no child is free. Why it's crazy to see, is that an elementary or a penitentiary? Hot geez, get off my back and beat it, take it to town, man. Idiots go to college to get them down. Ooh, it leaves you bereft. Ooh, identity theft. I may be wrong, I don't know why. I may be wrong, but I'll try. Because I'm sick of the insanity, watching horny manatee, feeling like a libertine, dealing with the death machine.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Join Linda Palacio for A Taste of the Past every Thursday at 12 p.m. as she indulges her curiosities about food, cooking, drinking, and dining of the past by taking a journey through culinary history. Linda interviews authors, scholars, friends, and chroniclers to learn about what was eaten, where, and how, from as long ago as ancient Mesopotamia and Rome, right up to the grazing tables and deli counters of today. The show underscores food as a lively link between present and past cultures. Again, that's Thursday at 12 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back.
Where do you get that song?
Flash Talk Sketch. You know what? This is my favorite part of my job, is finding the right song.
Your favorite part of the whole show is finding the song?
That's right.
That's fantastic. I'm glad we do the show every week, just so we have that 30 seconds worth of song.
You know,
Andrew, what's your favorite part of the show?
My favorite part of the show is when you play my theme song, Jack. If you want to throw that up there right now for a few seconds,
No. You have to wait another week to get that. Today, we're not doing Andrew in the Lord.
Jack, we're closing the show with that. Closing the show.
All right, we'll compromise. No problem. We're back. We're talking about Are You Smarter Than a Thief? Harry Houck, expert in financial crimes.
Drop his website. What's his website?
I am. NYCStreetSmarts.com.
There you go. That's it.
Go to his website, and he'll educate you and let you know what's going on with the bad boys and how to keep one step ahead of them so you don't become a victim.
What do you do on there? You just update new stories and
update new information, and there's several different areas within the website, you know, pertaining to different crimes and scams. You can just go in there and it's updated, and you get a lot of great information on how to be street smart in New York.
So, like, what measures do you use to prevent these things from happening that, like, we can get on the website? Can you give us a little bit of that right now, or?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, one of the big things I tell people all the time is do not give your PIN number out to nobody.
Including your significant other.
Exactly.
I never understood that. Like,
they do it all the time, all right? I can't tell you how many times people would tell me their PIN numbers over the phone, you know, when I'm investigating a case of theirs. They get real scared. You might get an email saying that your account will be closed this weekend because of possible fraud.
And please, that's identify, a scam. That right, email's a exactly. scam. That's that phishing stuff.
Please identify who you are. Please enter your PIN number.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Ahead. No bank will ever ask you your PIN number. As right. soon as somebody asks you your PIN number, I want a light to go off alert. In your head telling you this is a scam.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
No one will ever ask you of that.
No one legitimate.
And that's why when you see with a lot of these skimming cases, all right, where people's accounts are emptied out is because they use their PIN number at the store. Mm-hmm. When you're at a store using your card.
Yeah.
Okay? And they say credit. Or debit.
Right.
Always choose credit.
Right.
Even if it's a debit card, use credit. Okay? Because all you have to do will have to sign your name. It's mm-hmm. a sign-based
transaction.
Right.
That's right.
Don't give your PIN number. I don't want your PIN number in any of these other systems and stores. Mm-hmm. Don't use it anywhere except one place, and that should be a bank ATM machine.
I got
a quick question. Chat. Well, I was on the phone with my bank once, and I think I remember them asking me to type my PIN in with the numbers on the pad. Is that the same thing?
On the phone?
On the phone, yeah.
I've heard some banks might do that, okay, but I've never really heard that for real, so you might have been actually a victim of a scam doing that.
Nice.
Did you call the bank, or did they call you?
I don't remember. It's a vague memory. I remember putting my PIN in a phone once, so.
How was your account after that?
I got no money, so I guess that's
why. Usually people who are broke don't really have much to worry about. Yeah, they don't go after, 23-year-olds who have, a lot of debt. They go after 83-year-olds who are very naive. There's a lot of stuff out there, people trying to, the government trying to educate you, and people like Harry trying to educate you, and people like me and Andrew every week telling you, don't be a victim. Phishing is nonsense, and this PIN stuff is nonsense. But I got to tell you, I always use credit card. I never use a debit card. For my own personal, I just like to float my money for 30 days. Mm-hmm. That's my personal thing.
Right.
I stand online, and I watch one young person after the next. Debit purchase, debit purchase, debit purchase, punch your PIN, punch your PIN, punch your PIN.
I don't get that. Like,
everybody does it. That's way more common.
It's a Visa debit card for a reason.
Right.
They put that Visa MasterCard on there, so it's just like a credit card.
But people don't know that, though. That's the problem. They think, well, this is a debit card, so I got to put my PIN number in. Mm-hmm. Listen, the bank makes like a couple cents every time you put your PIN number in.
Really?
As opposed to using a credit card, they make a little bit more on debit card purchases.
Right, exactly. Right. So they want you to use the debit card.
Uh-huh.
Listen, if I can't tell you how many times I see people out there with checks, making purchases with checks at a store. If you go to a store and you write out a check, you've just got to about put all your financial information on the back of it. If it's like, please, please steal money from me.
Wow.
Don't ever go out and write a check when you make a purchase. If you want the money come out of your checking account, use your debit card and always choose credit on it.
Right.
All right.
Don't now, when you choose credit, if you don't have a credit, it's truly a debit card, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not credit. Do they just treat it at the bank as a debit purchase? They don't give you a bill at the end. So what you're just doing is you're just bypassing the PIN procedure, but you're still treating it as a debit purchase.
Exactly.
Okay, the PIN has just that extra layer of personal information out there that you don't want to put out
and
there.
The
if you don't
makes
need to do
money.
That, then why do that?
There's no real need to do it.
Okay.
I'm sure the banks will be mad at me because they make money that way.
So you're just lying to the cashier saying, oh, this is a credit purchase, but then it's really
a debt. They don't even ask you that question.
No, they do. They do.
They're not lying. I mean,
no, but you are telling. Okay, no, I want to treat this as a credit purchase.
I do it every once in a while. I have to use my debit card 5 times a month or else they charge me $6. So I go out and I use it exactly five times a month because I don't like money coming out of my checking account, same as you.
Right.
But I push credit every time I use it.
Oh, you do?
Now, of course. I don't want that. I don't want my information going out there anymore. I don't want someone seeing it.
Yes.
I don't know if this person's going to come out and mug me after I do it or if this other scheme's going to happen.
Exactly.
There's no point. There's no need. It comes out of your account the same exact way.
Okay. Well, that's important. So
that's the way I've always looked at it that way. So, and I just.
Harry, do you have any more good advice as to how to avoid being ripped off?
Well, there's a. I think the internet is really, really big now, where you can be virtually 15, 20,000 miles away and rip off somebody here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And you got to be very, very careful with that financial information that you have. A lot of people are worried about a lot of the banks, where you can do your checking online now.
Yes.
And you can send checks out. That's really safe.
Yes, I've been doing that forever.
I've been doing that a long time. I've never known to this date where a bank system was actually hacked.
Right.
Where they're able to get information like that. What happens is the customer winds up, or the client winds up somehow giving the bad guy their information.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just like your producer over here said before, when he had to enter information into the phone.
Yes.
Oh, well, I wouldn't done that if somebody had called me.
Yeah, right.
If
you made the initiation,
if I had initiated the call to the bank, maybe. Although, I've heard that story, but I don't know anybody that actually does that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound good to me at all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of scams just like that before.
Yes.
But they call you and have you enter.
Right.
See, what they like to do is they get you scared.
Yeah.
They'll either call you or they'll send you an email like on a Friday afternoon.
Right.
And they tell you that you're not going to have access to your money for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So people get scared.
That really is scary for a lot of people.
Please call right away. And they'll give you an 1-800 number you call. You get somebody on the phone to pretend you're your bank.
Right.
And they'll want your information. And as soon as they say the PIN, if you get any email saying something's wrong with your account, just go into your wallet, take your card out, and call your bank.
Yeah, call the number
on
the back.
About a month ago, I got a text message from HSBC, and they said, there's a problem. Call us at this number, and they gave us... And then another minute or two, I got another text message with HSBC, and they said, there's a problem, and they gave me a different phone number, and it was a 540 number. I've since learned that 540 area codes are bad. Those are the bad boys.
Right.
But anyway, I went...
Why would your bank text
that's
you?
That's exactly what... I frankly don't know how the bank would have gotten this information to text me, but anyway, I went to HSBC the next day with the text messages and showed them. You know, they were completely unfazed. I was like, you know, this is pretty scary. Somebody's out there pretending to be you, and, you know, they're looking for me to contact them. And, you know, I'm a little savvy. I'm not very savvy, you know, but I just can't believe that you guys aren't really going to follow up on this. They couldn't care less.
What are they going
to
do?
Well, they could certainly try to find secure their websites.
It's probably cheaper to give you your money back if you're the one person.
You know, all the banks have fraud investigation groups.
Yeah, right.
So you could have probably called the 1-800 number, reported attempted fraud on your account, and maybe they look at it, maybe they didn't take a look at it. Maybe they've already got an existing case going on and you could have just been another person trying to track that information.
Right.
You go into a branch.
Right. There's nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, the customer service girl, she was like, okay, thanks for calling. Well, I'll put that down in your file. Okay, good.
And they know what's going on like crazy.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably rampant.
Who are they going to tell? They tell their manager, the manager tells someone. And at that point, it's out of their pay grade, pretty much, I think is the best way to put it. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Someone's sitting in they're there to open an account.
Maybe somebody smart in the branch will make a call to the loss prevention unit and tell them, hey, we got this. This is what happened. You know, but...
What can they do for you there? They can't.
Well, you know, my son-in-law is in charge of internet security at Citibank. You know, and so he always tells me whenever I get any emails that are phishing emails that I should forward them over to him. I think that's all he gets all day. He gets thousands and thousands of emails, and you know, I just think after a while they just throw their hands up and say, "Well, you know, we can try to go after as much as we can, but then it gets to a point of we can't."
You know, how easy it is to send out all those spam emails. You know, you throw a couple of email addresses into form letter, BCC everybody, and you send out thousands. So then
that's why they call it phishing, because they know if they send out 10,000 emails for one certain bank, they're going to hit a couple hundred people that are actually have accounts account in those banks.
And then
what is the bank going to do? Try to track this down, because there's thousands of these claims that are
going to
come through.
They do tend to do that.
Do they?
All right. Yes. Now, I mean, they've got fraud investigative units that go after this, especially when the number gets big.
Yes.
Okay. All right. They turn this over to federal law enforcement, and federal law enforcement does what they can. But what the thing here is too much. There is not enough law enforcement out there to track this. Okay, it's just impossible to do. So they've got to pick and choose their cases.
And the crimes keep getting more sophisticated. They're not so smart sometimes. But sometimes they're smart, and they outsmart the guys until we catch up with them.
I'll tell you, though, believe it or not, for the resources they have, they do a pretty good job.
The thieves.
The law enforcement and the bank fraud investigative units, but the
crooks are way ahead of them. Almost all the time.
Well, can you imagine, just stopping all the crime in New York?
Yeah.
No.
There's always going to be someone out there. It's just too many people.
Unless they bring Mayor Giuliani back.
Right.
Oh, please.
I'm kidding.
But, and another big problem is that a lot of times these people don't go to jail.
Right. The crooks.
All
right.
So Why is that?
Because there's too much of it.
What do you mean?
There's too much of it.
So they don't go put them away?
I locked up 100 people a year.
Right.
Doing credit card fraud and financial crimes.
Right.
All right. I can't tell you. I could probably tell you in my one hand how many people did serious time.
Is it because white collar crime is not considered dangerous?
The jails
dangerous?
Are full.
Right.
Exactly. The jails are full. They're not building enough jails.
Right.
All right. So when you make, I call the United States of America the identity thieves Disneyland.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Because we had people coming from other countries just to do this.
Yeah.
Because there's no ramifications at all.
Virtually. And it's very hard
to
get caught.
And we're also a wealthy country. So they're going to hit money. They're going to hit money, you know, better here than a lot of other places.
The roads are paved with gold.
Yeah. Yes. So the final minute, what's your final thought? Tell my audience, what's the one thing? I mean, we talked about a few things. What's the one most important thing to prevent getting ripped off?
The PIN number.
The PIN number.
I think that is the biggest thing. I talk about that all the time. The PIN number. Anybody ask you for your PIN, you're a victim of a scam. You're going to be a victim of a scam. Don't give it to no one. Use bank ATM machines only. Try and stay away from those bodegas, the ones in stores, all right? And try to use your ATM, all right, where there's a branch, a bank, right, a branch.
Should you change your PIN number every 6 months?
You
or
should
so?
Change your PIN yes. number. But you know what? You know, listen, it's a great idea to do. Yeah. But everything's got a PIN number now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you wind up with like 1,000 right. different PIN numbers.
Well, you
got to
change
head.
All of them. It's very, you know? It's, but I think so, I think changing you know them is good security.
It's good, but you know, if you don't give it out, you don't have to.
Yeah. That's true.
And don't use your PIN number for your bank, the same one that your PIN number is to sign into your internet, any of your internet right. sites.
Of course.
You know, keep that a separate, you know, right. thing. And another big thing is that you should definitely have, you know, some software on your computer letting you know if you're being skimmed or scammed.
Oh, really? You what know? Kind of software is that?
Oh, there's tons of software out there. I know Microsoft has got what I use on my computer.
What's that?
They basically let you know if somebody's trying to enter your system.
Oh.
There's really great software out there. Norton has it. Uh-huh. And you should definitely have that on your computer. If you're on the internet, you don't know. I mean, something can make its way through right. mm-hmm. and steal all your financial information mm-hmm. right off your computer.
Okay. All right. We've come to the end. Harry, I want to thank you. Don't forget to go to Harry's website for more information, nycstreetsmarts.com. He updates it regularly, and he'll inform you and keep you abreast of what's going on in the crooked world out
That's
there.
That's my boy, Jack. That's my boy.
See you guys next week as Andrew and I sign off.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of 6 provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the 6 features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.